Welcome to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Trinity Sunday, June 11, 2017, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Wonder what God is like? Sometimes. I mean, we pray to God, we come to church to worship God, but what is God actually like? I actually think a lot of modern people don't think too much about that, at least all the details. But we know in history that in the first few centuries of the church, people were really concerned with getting an accurate definition of exactly what God was like. Who is this God? The early church councils and theologians struggled to put some language around this God that we were worshiping. And of course, they drew from the scriptures. That's the source of our understanding of God, the primary source. And so they looked into the scriptures to get descriptions of God, and they found several things. We heard Susan read for us the entire first chapter of Genesis, the creation story, which is an incredibly important understanding of God, that God is the one who creates the heavens and the earth and everything in it. This first chapter of Genesis is so critical to our understanding of who God is. God is a creator, often the Father, God the Father, we think about that. And then they went further and they explored, well, what other images do we have for God in the scriptures? Obviously, there is Jesus. The New Testament bears witness to Jesus. But Jesus is a little more complicated to understand, right? Exactly how Jesus relates to God the Father. Jesus has many titles in the New Testament. He is Son of God. Does that make him exactly God? This is what the theologians were puzzling out. It's helpful for us as English speakers to know that in Hebrew and in Greek, but particularly in Hebrew, son of doesn't literally mean like biological son of. It can also mean of the same category. So if I call you a son of perdition, what am I saying? You're of the category of perdition. Son of God means of the category God. In other words, Jesus, when he has the title Son of God, is being called divine, having a divine nature, a godly nature. But that wasn't the only title. Jesus also had the title Son of Man. So he was of the category human as well. And so they wrestled with us. How can Jesus be both Son of God and Son of Man, both divine and human? And they came up through actually a couple hundred years and several church councils' language about that. That language was eventually enshrined in the Nicene Creed. Do you ever wonder why we say the creed in the way that we do? And we're actually not saying the Nicene Creed this summer. We're using the Iona Creed. But you know what I'm talking about in the Nicene Creed. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Those are very technical words that got hammered out over those first centuries of the church to express the exact relationship of Jesus to God the Father, of the same being. In other words, Jesus is one of the ways that we understand God. And finally, they said in the scripture, there is this other aspect of God that's harder to describe. This, in Genesis, in the very first couple of verses, there's this watery chaos, and then what creates order out of that chaos? In Hebrew, the words are Ruach Elohim. And Ruach Elohim can either mean a great wind, or it can mean the Spirit of God. And so these early theologians said, you know what, the other part of God that we see present from the beginning all the way through the scriptures, and finally, of course, most dramatically on Pentecost, is the Holy Spirit, this powerful, creative person of God who animates and activates creation and the church. And that's why we have the Trinity, because those early theologians distilled out of the Holy Scriptures these three aspects or persons of God. And they said that these interact with each other in amazing ways, that within the heart of God, there is actually community and relationship. So most modern people are not so concerned with the nitty-gritty of Greek theology from the first four centuries of the church, right? It's probably not what keeps you up at night, wondering exactly how the persons of the Trinity interact with each other. But what does matter, I think, for us is this idea of relationship and community. Because that is one of the most consistent witnesses of Scripture, that this God we worship is a God who desires to be in relationship with us. A God who creates the universe, not because God has to. God is perfectly content and perfect within God, but God creates in order to have a relationship with this creation. The heavens and the earth, the animals, and then finally and especially human beings, you and me, created in the image of God, so that God could have a relationship with us. God could create covenants with us, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, with Moses, so that ultimately God could send God's own self to us in Jesus, so that that relationship might be healed and perfected. God wants a relationship with us because God, in God's own self, is relationship. And I think our challenge, as we think about this nature of God as Trinity, is to examine a little bit those relationships in our lives. How is our relationship with God? God is always seeking a relationship with us. Are we responding? Are we listening? Are we extending ourselves back? I think we do that when we come to church. We do that when we pray on our own. We do that when we admire God's handiwork in the created world, all those wonderful categories of creation. It's hard not to give glory to God when we see the beauty of God's creation. I think we also respond to God's relationship when we look in the relationships in our own lives that often are so complicated, so difficult, so challenging. Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian, said that we are, in all of our human relationships, responding to this nature of God, including marriage, friendship, communities like parish churches. Where might we bring healing in those relationships? Where might we extend ourselves in creating relationships where none exist? Today we are celebrating and welcoming newcomers in our parish. How are we doing with connecting with newcomers? What would it be like if we extended ourselves just a little bit, had someone over to the house or invited them out for coffee? What kind of relationship might that create? What about people who are alone, especially as they get older? How might we connect with people who are lonely and desperately needing human contact and loving connection? I think that would be a response to God's desire for relationship. Where are there broken relationships, hurt feelings, things that we've been avoiding? How might we invite God to step in and bring healing in those relationships, whether it's within the parish family, within our own human families, or within the extended relationships we have in work and in the community? How might we build relationships as a congregation or as individuals with other ministries. I mean, one of the really neat things at St. Philip's are the connections that we have with social service agencies, with the Rochester Area Neighborhood House, with Bound Together, with a whole variety of institutions and places that we connect with. How might we invite God more deeply into those relationships as we extend ourselves in reaching out beyond ourselves? This coming year, we're going to have a forum series after the 10 o'clock service. I've been trying to find the right time for a class, but I think it's going to have to be after the 10 o'clock service. And each month, we're going to invite a different community leader to come and share with us their vision of the Rochester area community. What have been the changes? Where are the challenges? Where are the opportunities? How do churches fit into the larger picture? I think it'll be really interesting for us to get another image of what these relationships can and should look like. Finally, what about relationships with other traditions and faiths? Not only other Christian denominations, ecumenically, but what about our neighbors who are Hindus and Sikhs and Jews and Muslims? How might we have, where it's appropriate, partnerships or relationships or deeper understanding? And how might God be active in all of those relationships? I believe that we are created in relationship with God, for relationship with God, and for relationships with other people, that we are actually at our best when we are in mutual, loving, supportive relationships. I think that's why we have a church, to help practice that and live that out and enjoy that fellowship. I know it's deeply meaningful for all of you who gather here to have those connections, to feel that support, and to know that there are people who understand you and love you and accept you. And I pray that we might be able to experience God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, a God who is relationship, who invites us deeper into relationship, and that through all of our relationships we might see and know and experience that God more fully, more completely, and in ways that transform and send us forth. Amen.